Well, good morning. It is good to see everyone out this morning. First morning of Encourage Men. It's something that we've been looking forward to. As Anthony said, how it changed his life, and it has changed mine as well. And it has been such a blessing to me. And my wife encourages me to come because she knows the positive effect that it has had on our lives and in our families' lives. But it's exciting to see everyone out. It's exciting to see grandfathers. It's exciting to see young men that are not married. And we just want to wish the Lord's blessing upon you. And as we get started and encourage men, we want to encourage you, and the Lord will encourage you. This curriculum is something like I've never seen before, and it has been a challenge to me. Just to get started this morning, just want to tell you a little story, and this story is true. It may not be real funny to you, but it's funny to our family, and just ask one of my children about it, and they'll laugh. And anyway, we were going on a family vacation, and it was some distance, and the plan was that we would get started, and we would stop at McDonald's and then eat on the way, and the children would eat, and then they would sleep, and Mom and Dad would drive to our destination. Well, we came to McDonald's, and any of you fathers that have gone through a drive-in at McDonald's or Wendy's, and you have children and family along, you know you want to get prepared, and so everyone, you're asking, what do they want? Well, then, by the time you think you know what everyone wants, they change their mind, and then you're confused. Well, anyway, this time we decided we're going to stop at a McDonald's, and this was about 7-8 years ago, if you remember. They were promoting a big and tasty burger, and so I didn't know what a big and tasty burger, and being a man, and men don't like to ask questions, and so I thought I was going to really be a man, and I was going to ask questions about this burger and find everything about it. So I asked the lady, what's in a big and tasty burger? So she said, well, there's onions, there's lettuce, it's a sesame seed bun, I think there was pickle, there was a whole bunch of stuff. And then it kind of occurred to me, nothing was said about the meat. And then I said, well, does a burger come with that? And I was dead serious, I didn't think anything about it, and we pulled up, and my son, he's in the back, and he goes, Dad, he goes, do you know what you said? I said, no, what did I say? He said, you asked if there was a burger with that. He said, I bet that lady in there is getting all the employees together. And I said, look at that guy. He really wondered what a burger, if there was a burger in there. And so that's kind of a family joke. But it really, you know, it has made a memory in our family. And my desire through these sessions, that it will not only make memories, but it will challenge each one of you as men, to do what God has called you to do. And so we welcome you to Encourage Men. We're going to talk about five manhood promises this morning. And before we get into that, we need to understand some things before we realize what these manhood promises are. And we are at the starting line of this whole course. And we're going to be learning a wide range of things as we get started here. To understand what we need to do, we need to realize that we're going to need some toughness. Now, I don't know how it was for each one of you this morning. I'm kind of an early person, so it doesn't bother me too much. but some of you getting up at 5 o'clock or 4:30 or whatever it was you needed to get up probably wasn't real easy. And so you're going to need some toughness. There's going to be times you're busy and you say, oh, I just don't have time to come out and encourage men. But the fact is, what you put into it, what you bring to the table, and if you put your whole self into it, you're going to receive a whole lot more back. I can guarantee that. So the important thing is that you're going to be tough and you're going to make it out each morning. The other thing that you're going to need is a willingness to open up. And that's not always easy as men. I tend to feel a lot more comfortable being out in the tractor or being alone, and we don't really are not willing to open up, not only to our wives, but in each other as men, especially in our small groups. The other thing that we're going to need is courage. There's going to be some things shared in the sessions to follow that's going to make you think. There's going to be some pain, possibly, some hurts as childhood. And, you know, there's things back there that maybe sometimes we don't like to dig up, but we need to deal with it. And you might think back, and this kind of brought it to my attention, and it's just a very simple thing, not a very big thing. But this past summer, our neighbor's barn burned, just probably about 500-600 feet from our house, burned completely to the ground. And it brought back something that happened in my life when I was 5 years old. And what happened when I was 5 years old is we lived on a farm, and at that there was some weird guy calling in false alarms. And I still remember it exactly how it happened. All of a sudden, it was one evening, and all of a sudden, a fire truck started coming in our lane. It was like, well, why are these fire trucks coming? And then there was someone that we knew who said, well, someone called in a false alarm. And they even said it was my dad that had did it. And so I remember my dad being on the phone and talking to the dispatcher to prove that it wasn't him. And so that after that, I did not like fire trucks. And anytime there was a fire or accident, I was like, I don't want to see this. And sometimes we have hurts in our lives that we don't really realize. And sometimes, you know, we need to deal with that or seek the Lord's direction in that. And so there's going to be some hurts in your lives that you're going to have to deal with. And maybe it's with a bad situation with your mom or dad or grandfather or brother or sister. And what we're going to be learning a lot about is relationships with our wives, our children. And so all those things take into effect. So we're going to need courage to be able to open up and possibly deal with that hurt or that pain that you might have in your life. Now, we have some basic presuppositions to the manhood journey. And we need to realize what condition that we are in to be able to accomplish or to fix it or to meet our goal. And some of you might be mechanics, and if you are, you look at a car and you know how it should run, you know how everything should be, but you need to deal with the problem. You need to understand what the problem is and then deal with it. So we have some basic of our manhood journey. We need to realize that manhood is in a state of confusion. And this would be on your sheets, would be your first blank to fill in. And we do apologize for not having books. I'm not sure what all happened there, if there was such demand or what. But this would be your first blank to fill in. We need to realize that manhood is in a state of confusion. Why? Well, we're going to learn a little bit about that, not only in this session, but in other sessions to come. And if we look at the way things are today, we have a lot of problems. It doesn't take long. Just read the paper. We have trouble with pornography. We have the economy to deal with. We have 90% of all crimes are committed by men. And so manhood is in a state of confusion. And then we see that confused men create major problems because we don't have clear direction, because we're not sure where we need to go, what we are supposed to be doing, we create problems. I came across, and it's interesting as we look at this curriculum, how if you read the paper, if you read other articles, how I think there is a realization that men have problems and they need to deal with that. I came across this article. It is from Sword and Trump, and it's a booklet that we get at our church. It was written by Dan Wilson. The title of the article is Why So Many Men Are Pornified, or in other words, they're involved in sexual immorality. And I just want to read this this one paragraph. All sons of Adam face the pain of their own existence, like feelings of meaningless, futility, emptiness, and hopelessness. Crisis of identity cause men great pain. When a man does not know who he is or what he is supposed to do, he feels confused. That deep confusion causes pain, exasperation, and sometimes desperation. In our day, most men suffer confusion about their identity and purpose. And in today's affluence and ease, men become very bored. Boredom is a pain, a murky, low-level anger, frustrated in finding meaning. Confusion and boredom are deadly for genuine manhood. We all know that bored men do foolish, destructive things. Internet pornography enslavement is a prime example. So there we see that even though we have all the latest gadgets, all the latest technology, we have problems, we have pain. And if we don't deal with them, if we don't work with them and allow God to work in our lives, it creates confusion. And we see that confused men settle for less. I have a GPS, and maybe many of you do too. When I first got it, I was kind of skeptical, and then after I got it, I was like, this GPS can do no wrong. Well, I've discovered that it can do wrong. It can lead you on roads that you really don't want to go. It can take you the roundabout way. And so when you follow that GPS and it leads you wrong, you get confused. And it's a little bit like when we follow the world, when we follow the world's patterns and what they have for us, we will be confused. And letter D, there is no lofty vision of manhood today that is compelling to men. And this is a very important thing. We don't have, in many cases, vision for our manhood. And I think of that in my own life. When I first took this 2 years ago, the number one thing that just struck out to me was, wow, I should have had this about 25, 30, maybe even 40 years ago. And because it would have changed my life. It would have made me a better person, a better husband, a better father. And so if we don't have a vision, you know, so many times, especially in our families, at least I've found myself, we kind of go as, you know, things as we go along. And we need to have a lofty vision. Many of us at our work, we have core values, or we have a plan to what we're going to accomplish in our jobs, or how we want to deal with a customer, or how much sales we want to have. I'm a farmer, and I have a crop management report that I put together each spring. And I work with a crop consultant. And in that, we look at the value of the manure that we put on. We put look at how much fertilizer, what type of weeds that we needed to deal with the previous year, and what products we're going to use. And so I have probably about a 12-page report to guide me in my crop production. It's well thought. It's well planned out. And it came to me last year that, you know, I've put so much effort into this, and how much effort have I put into planning, setting a vision, setting that goal for my family, for my wife, for my community? What am I doing to serve God in my the situation that God has put me in? And then finally, we see that, and here's a picture. I just have a picture here of some corn. We put that corn in the ground, just a small seed, and we expect a crop, a yield. And that's what we want to do with you guys this year, is to plant some small seeds so that they would go forth and produce and yield in your life as a man, whether it be as a single man, as a husband, or as a father. In 1 Corinthians 13, 11, it talks about, Paul talks about putting away childish things. It says here, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things." There's been a saying, I'm sure most of you have said it, the only difference between men and boys is the cost of their toys. And, you know, when we think about this verse, you know, what does it take to be a man? When does that happen in our lives? Is it a certain age? Is it a certain maturity? But what does that happen? What happens when we become a man? Are we becoming a man, or are we just a boy in a man's body? And I'm not saying we shouldn't have activities and do things, go hunting, golfing, whatever. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, are we putting away the childish things, and are we making ourselves a man in the image of God and what God wants us to be? And lastly, the Bible, it has some helpful insights to all the above. What we're going to be sharing in the weeks to come is practical ways of applying the Scripture to our lives, whether it be just being a man, being a father, being a husband. Tremendous teaching. And some of the sessions, and you should have gotten the list of sessions. Manhood in Genesis. When I first heard that, it was like, well, this all makes sense, and why we are where we are at. But manhood in Genesis just brings it out of what the problems that man has in being passive and not taking the leadership role in the home. We see that in Psalms 119, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, most of you guys, it was dark this morning when we woke up. And we take lights for granted. We flip on a switch and the lights are there. But if we did not have that light, we would be dark. We wouldn't be able to see. And so the word is a light to our feet. And we are going to be using biblical principles in sharing what being a godly man is all about. Another verse that I'd like to share, and I don't have it up on the screen, but it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, the thing of it is here, we see that it's inspired of God, and it's given to us to correct us, to reprove us, to develop us. And so many times that goes against our grain. You know, we're kind of stuck in a rut, and we don't want to change. But if you're willing to be in the Word, if you're willing to change and be open to the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, you'll never be the same. And you're going to be going home and saying, "Guys, your brother, your friend, your uncle, whoever it might be, you got to come out. And I would encourage you, there are brochures in the back, and if you like what you've seen and you want to invite a friend, a brother, or somebody from church to come out to hear some of the messages that we are going to have each morning, you will be blessed, they will be blessed, and your life will never be the same. And that's what the Scripture, the Word of God does. It changes us, it molds us into His image, into His likeness. It is a Word, a light to our feet. Now, let's go back to some historical things, and some of these are coming from the book, and I kind of went with them. I kind of are reluctant to share a little bit, but I think we can get some insights from these. Many of us may not have been affected a whole lot by some of this. One of the roots we see here, and this is an important one, and I think this is one that we have dealt with, is the Industrial Revolution. And when the Industrial Revolution came, fathers left home and went to work. And the Industrial Revolution would have happened in the earlier 1900s. And in my own life, I see when I probably went to church as a teenager, at least one quarter of the people in our church anyway were farmers or some type of business where the sons could follow along. And as I remember in growing up on the farm with my dad, we were always together. And so, I was taught different things. And as you work together, you can teach your son different aspects. And I know as we were growing up, and as I had my sons, sometimes I would teach them biblical things in some of the courses that we were doing, or not courses, but some of the work that we were doing. And I know my one son, he said, well, this is, if you ever heard of Keys for Kids, he said, oh, this is another Keys for Kids moment. But it was vital. As a father worked with his son, he could teach them many things and lead them into manhood. But when we had the Industrial Revolution, men went off to work. And I understand that we can't all farm, we can't all have maybe a car garage where our son could follow in our steps, or we can't all have a business that can happen. And I understand that. And so it's going to be vital, and we'll see that in the days to come, that as we go off to work, that we come back and we still have energy for our sons, for our family, rather than coming home and we tend to be tired and we tend to want to be alone and we don't want to deal with some of the things we've had to deal with maybe at work. And so it's important that we spend that quality time with our children. And here we see fathers not teaching their children because they're not really with them. Their time is limited because they're not at home. Another thing, and this may not have affected us a whole lot in our situation, but in the men of America had to go off to war in World War II. And then when they came back, we all know that war is awful. And the emotions that they've experienced, they could not open up to those emotions. And so those emotions were kept kind of under wrap, and they became distant from their families, their wives, and children. And so then their children, their sons, were not really taught and were not really close to dads. Next we have the idea of feminism. This was happened in the 60s, and at first this movement was a good movement. But we see several things that came out of it. We see one thing that is true. Men and women are equal. We've both been created in God's sight. We both have souls, and God cares for each a woman and a man equally. However, a lie that came out of that was that men and women are the same. Women should be able to do anything that a man does. And we have now lost the roles of a wife and a husband. A husband being a leader, a wife as a caretaker of children, and we have lost some of those things. And again, maybe that hasn't affected us as a church here that many of you are involved with, But it, nevertheless, it's out there, and it's something that we need to deal with. Another thing that's not on your sheet that I felt compelled to add, and this probably would affect us more than anything, and that's the fact of materialism. We have been very, very blessed, and we've been hard workers, and we've been good businessmen, but this idea of materialism will take us away and from our goal that God has for us as a man. And so we focus on things rather than relationships. We focus on prestige. We want the best car. We want the best house, the best job, the best hunting rifle, or whatever the situation might be. Now, we want to look at, and this is the important thing here, we want to look at five manhood promises when we talk about the quest for authentic manhood. The first one, you will have a clear definition of being a man. You will be, after you take this course, you will be excited about the vision of being a man. And you will be excited about telling your sons, your daughters, about what it means to be a godly man. Your grandchildren, even your great-grandchildren, whatever the situation might be, you are going to be excited and have a clear definition of what it is to be a man. Secondly, you will develop a new manhood language. You'll hear words like reject passivity. You'll hear words like the boy in you must die. Or this king in you is what decides. You'll hear terms like what it means to be a servant leader. You'll hear terms like manhood wounds. Or you'll hear terms like lead courageously. And all those will be coming in the next sessions. You'll make significant personal discoveries about yourself. You're probably going to say, you're probably back there saying, well, I think I know everything about myself. Yeah, you might be surprised. The first time I took this course, I was really enjoying it. And the first one of the first sessions that I went to, I wasn't at the first couple. And it was about the all alone wound. And I thought, well, I have no wounds. I'm not alone. And yet, when the teaching was brought out, yes, I did have, I was alone. I really didn't have anybody that I could connect with, any man that I could just share with. And so you're gonna make some discoveries about yourself, and you're gonna understand that maybe there's something that you need to work on, or maybe you have a gift that God is gonna use you in your small group to bless others in your small group. So you will make excellent and different discoveries about yourself. And we need to take time to analyze that. It takes time to analyze some of that and be willing to share. Then you will make new friends who are pursuing a common goal. Now, many of you might know each other, but you're gonna make new friends starting next week after the session. We're going to be breaking up into small groups. And may I add that this small group time is very, very special. In this small group, you're going to be able to open up and to share maybe some of the hurts or pains that you've had. Or maybe you have experienced and done something well that you could relate to others in that small group. Maybe in that small group, you will be a mentor to someone or hold someone accountable. Maybe they're struggling with something in their life and that they have shared in small group. And you are going to be a prayer warrior that week for that person. So you will make new friends. And we're all here for a common goal, to achieve authentic manhood, to see what God has for us in our lives. And so when we all have that same goal, it's just like a softball team or a basketball team. When we have a goal, we work together, and you're going to encourage each other. And that was one of the things. It was kind of interesting when they first called it encourage men. I was going through things in my life, and some guys encouraged me to go, and I went. And it was a real encouragement to me. And it really was an answer to really prayer that God would work in my life, and He did. And so we all have a common goal, and we are going to develop friends in that small group. And finally, you will have your own personalized manhood plan. This is very, very important to have this manhood plan. Like I said, there are some businesses that have a plan for their business. As I mentioned earlier, I have a plan for growing my crops. And this manhood plan is very vital. I have scanned my first plan. This is my first plan that I did. And it's very simple to do this plan. One of the things you want to do is, as the sessions go along, you want to jot some things down. What you want to put in that manhood plan. We need to have a plan. When you go on a vacation or when you go on a trip, you make your plans. You know your times. You pack your bags. You make sure you have everything in there that you're going to need. And this manhood plan is very important, because as you are planning to be a husband, to be a father, grandfather, maybe you touch the lives of people in your community, whatever it might be, you need to write this out and set a plan. My wife just reminded me the other day that there's some things that I have not finished in my manhood plan. And so I want to finish those things in that plan. And it's important to have this plan and keep it at a handy place. Just don't do it and then throw it in the back file or someplace. Have it handy that every once in a while you read it. And you can say, well, whoa, I'm not doing what I had planned to do. Or you could maybe check off some things. Yes, I've done this. Check that off. It's important that you have this manhood plan. If there was anything that was disappointing last year, was that we've only had about 60% of manhood plans done. I want to see 100% this year. And I don't say that to put pressure on you guys, but I say that because it's vital. It's vital to achieving authentic manhood. I have an article here, and it's interesting how different people are seeing the need for men to step up and take their place. Just a couple paragraphs out of a brochure I got, or a newsletter from NYP, from Claire Schnupp. And this is what he says. We must realize that this fathering problem did not happen with this generation. As I listen to stories of wounded fathers, I hear of passive or angry fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers. The present problem has its roots in the distant past. Many fathers are simply not obeying Ephesians 6:4, and many have not for generations. As go the fathers, so go the families, the churches, and society. Societal chaos is a result of paternal chaos. And this is the thing that I really want to read, and this is where we're at, I think, today. But thank God, not all is not lost. There are still fathers who care, and I believe that's why you men are here today. There are fathers who are reaching out for help in reversing generational cycles of father absence or neglect. There are also fathers who are becoming very proactive in not only changing their fathering patterns, but also in initiating movements in the name of Christ to help other fathers fulfill their deep, God-given longings to be a father and to enjoy intimacy with their children. And I think, guys, that's why I'm here. I want to learn. This is my third year, but I know I'm going to learn more. And I want to be able to implement that manhood plan to a fuller degree. I want to grow, and I want to be able to be a support to those of you here today that are desire to be in God's will, desire to be the man that God has called you to be. So, are you ready to take this journey? Are you ready to be the man that you are called to be? So are you ready? Get set and let's go. Thanks so much, and God bless you. Let's just have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for what you have done for us. Lord, we thank you for the speakers that will come in the following weeks. Lord, we just lift them up to you that they would proclaim your word. Lord, I thank you for each man that is here this morning. Lord, their desire to be an authentic man. Lord, not only to be touched and have their lives changed, but Lord, to change the lives of their families, the lives of their communities, and the lives of their churches. Father, I just pray a blessing upon each one that is here. And Lord, that you would lift them up. Lord, that you would encourage them and guide them throughout the week. And Lord, we just pray that you would bring them back safely, if it is your will, next Tuesday. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.